Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Gift of Gaming podcast, where we're sipping tea and talking about the Game Awards all the way up to 2024. Play the intro. All right, it's me, your host, Darren Wade, and today I'm joined by Craig, the critical, tea-sipping Nolan. How are you, Craig?
Oh, still coughing after that one there.
Yeah, got you good. And also the host with the most of the D3 Switch Sports Golf Invitational, KP.
How are you getting on? Not choking on tea over here, which is lovely.
Yeah, you're smart. You're drinking, you know, outside of hours.
Yes, living the good life.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Good. Can't complain now.
No complaints over here. Excited to talk about games.
Yeah. Tea and biscuits are always a good show for a podcast. I'm sure our listeners will love the slurps, the chomps, But we're relaxed here and we're ready to talk about video games. I'd ask you guys what you've been playing of late, but it's only been a week and I'm sure it's not been a whole lot different since last week, right?
Craig's
nervously shaking his head like, no, please don't ask me. I haven't got anything to
nothing new from my end, unfortunately.
They added two new characters to Marvel Rivals was the peak of my
And
new
is this
game.
The Fantastic Four characters?
Yeah, so Mr. Fantastic and Sue Storm are now in it. The Thing and Johnny Storm on their way soon.
You said two characters?
Yeah.
Isn't that four?
Yeah, sorry. No, they're dropping them at different points season. Yeah,
I'm like, that's more than two.
So they gave two. I suppose it's like dangling the carrot to keep you interested. Yeah.
But they're free as well.
Yeah. And there's been a fair few announced that are coming down the line, like Daredevil, Blade.
They've announced that they're introducing a character every month and a half, supposedly.
Is
their plan, okay. Yeah. And the two that we got, Sue Storm and
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah. What roles are they?
Sue Storm is a strategist. So healer kind of role.
It makes sense. You know, Invisible powers.
She's apparently very good. I haven't played as her yet. Apparently she's very, very good to play as. And Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, is a duelist, but also because of his power, he can enlarge to a kind of tank role.
Oh, nice though.
As well. So I've played as him a fair, but actually he's a...
Interesting.
He's fun.
Are his animations ridiculous?
Because he has to stretch.
Yeah.
Not really. Like, it works.
Does it lend itself well to on-screen?
It's fine. Like considering the limitation, not that his powers are limiting, but like to make them work in a game, it'd be tough.
I imagine it'd be very difficult.
Yeah, like everyone in the game, like for the most part, you just have your standard like melee attacks. For every character just has that, and his is just like long armed punches, which is hilarious.
I'd say it's pretty fun to look at.
But then when he goes into tank mode, it's unbelievable. He's actually super powerful. It's quite good.
I still haven't got into it because I'm still playing so much Marvel Rivals, but I'm actually looking forward to it. I was looking at my to-do list.
Midnight Suns?
Midnight Suns is what I'm playing, yeah. And I'm kind of close to the end. They're still really enjoyable. I am getting a little bit, because I was trying to like do everything all the time to like build up all my relationships to the max, because you get cool suits for them when you're best friends with them. But I was like, okay, fatigue is starting to sit in, so now I'm just jumping ship and I'm going full story mode and getting to the end of the game, because it's been enjoyable, and I'd hate to just like, you know, just sit off and not play it anymore. But I was looking at my list of kind of like what I have on the to-do list, and I realized that while we were talking last week, we were like, God of War 2018 was a big winner, but I realized that on God of War Ragnarok, I finished it but stepped away before they introduced, they have like a roguelike mode called
Valhalla.
Yeah. And I just saw my add-ons. I was like, oh, I can download that. So I think God of War, I might just sit into that as we wait for Monster Hunter to arrive, Craig, because we've only got like just over a month and counting.
That's going to be some month. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I put in the message into the chat. By the time this episode comes out, the Switch 2 should probably be announced. We got like a leak of possibly the Switch 2 coming out. Mm-hmm. Are you guys expecting much from the Nintendo's launch of the Switch 2? Their announcement?
Even though Nintendo, like, they've had a rubbish year and like they're clearly working on games behind the scenes that they don't want to talk about because like
the well
is completely dry, you know? But they've done that with every console ever, and the well is usually still somewhat dry on release day, you know? I mean, they had a great launch with the Switch with Zelda and Mario, but the Wii U was going nowhere for years in order to make that happen. The Switch hasn't had that decline. So I think we're likely to get one decent game and then a bunch of
whole load of ports,
some pilot wings, and the rubbish that nobody cares about.
Yeah, there's talk of people were saying that the power behind it, people are hoping the likes of Snake, Metal Gear Solid 3, Delta, or whatever, can come out on it and play reasonably well, and maybe Cyberpunk and stuff like that. And I was like, well, if you didn't have a PlayStation or an Xbox, and you got to switch to with those kind of games, it'd be pretty decent.
But it's nothing to get excited about, you know?
Yeah, old games, like, yeah. You know? We'll wait and see. But I'm interested to see what it looks like. It's probably going to look, it's just going to be bigger of the exact same thing.
Just a larger screen, I reckon.
I'm still going to get one, no question.
So? Yeah?
Just for Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, it's like, well, that's I have to have those games. So I'm just getting it.
And do you mean in terms of like the ports that they'll do of those games, or do you mean the next iteration of Mario Kart?
The next iteration. But if they ported them, even better, like, because I can happily jump on 48 more tracks for Mario Kart or more DLC characters for Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, like, that for me is the better option, but I think we will get new versions.
Would you assume that those games would only be exclusive to Switch 2 or whatever it's going to be called?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I'd hope not. I don't want to get it straight away.
Yeah. I think those games are pretty far down the line, though. Yeah. Like, the new Mario Kart and the new Smash Brothers are probably far
neither
down the line.
Neither would be launch games.
No.
And neither have ever been launch games.
Yeah. So you might be okay, KP, though. And, I don't know if there will be another Smash for years at this stage. Like, still a thing. But, I'm excited to see what it looks like, but I don't think I've got any desire to, because you got the PlayStation Portal recently.
Yeah, I got it at Christmas. Yeah, so I got handheld wise, I'm good.
I'm kind of in the same boat.
I just don't feel like I need one right now. I'm having a fun time still with my Switch and the Portal. I'm kind of only getting into playing it really. Like, I haven't had a chance to take it on holidays or anything like that to really kind of test it. For the most part, I've just been playing it in bed, which is great. But
like those good old PlayStation 5 games in bed. Yeah, it's so nice. The only thing I will say about the Switch, Craig, we're going on a trip in March to see the Final Fantasy Rebirth concert. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to Smash Bros. On a plane.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff, because you can't get in the portal because, you know, no internet connection. So the Switch is still good for, you know, a couple of things. Yeah. It's got a little bit of life left in it for me. After that trip in March and the Switch 2 announcement, I'm like, well, this thing's dead, you know.
Can it connect, like, wirelessly, like, through local? Can it, like...
The PlayStation...
Switch, I can't remember.
Oh, in terms of we can do local play, like, as in
it's just we tried that with Advance Wars and like.
Oh yeah, no, that was bad though. But I don't know if that was necessarily Nintendo's fault or if it was the game designers for Advance Wars didn't put in a.
It's just I don't think I've ever tried to play Smash Bros. With someone through that method of each of us playing on our own screen.
Well, I was gonna you're gonna hate this, but I was saying it'd be funny because I think our seats on the plane we're all sitting beside each other on the plane. So I was like, we could probably just use the one small.
Oh, we could totally could do that. Yeah,
and I was like,
whoever's in the middle. It was a huge advantage because I was doing that on a flight before playing Mario Kart and I did sit in the middle, so I had a massive advantage.
Yeah.
But for the guys on either side of me, their necks were destroyed after just playing an hour,
I wonder, could you bring like, is there like a small monitor or like screen thing you could plug in to bring along? But do you remember, Craig, when it was on the 3DS and the Wii U and we went over to, was it Amsterdam?
It was, yeah.
We were flying over to and you were sitting beside
a guy with a 3DS and he took out Smash Brothers and then I just took out my version and was like, hey man, wanna play?
And
Darren comes back from the toilet and is like, are you guys playing Smash?
Took out my 3DS and all three of us played Smash Brothers. Like, me and Craig played with the stranger on the plane for the entire flight.
Was he good?
He was okay.
Yeah,
okay. We smashed him.
You destroyed him.
But the 3DS version wasn't very harder to be good at because the thumbstick is just so terrible, like, you know.
Fair enough.
Our level is not very good and his level wasn't very good, so
fair. We're all not good together and it was good fun, you know. But enough about that, fellas. We've got some more of the Game Awards to discuss. So last week we covered 2014 all the way up to 2018, where God of War won it. We're now into 2019 and I'll pop out the nominations for you guys in case you're not up to scratch. We have Control, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and The Outer Worlds. And the winner that year was, we finally got a Souls game, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Mm-hmm. I didn't play it, but based on the footage, I had no interest in it whatsoever.
I think I liked the look of the enemies, the characters, and the world it was, because it seemed to be quite high fantasy. And I think it's based off, I could be wrong, it's either that one or Black Myth Wukong is based off some Japanese novel or a really old kind of mythical story. But I looked at it and I was like, that looks cool. And the moment I realized it was a Souls kind of style of game, I was like, all right, I'm out.
Just the exact same for
when
me.
You compare it to something like, say, Ghost of Tsushima, I much prefer that style of game, you know?
Yeah.
To, you know, the Shadows Die Twice. And Ghost of Tsushima, was it the same year? Did you say that was in there as well?
That's not in there, no.
That's not in there, sorry. But that was such a great game visually and in terms of the story and all that type of stuff. And I was like, no, that's what I want in that type of genre. So, like, let's not do the Shadows Die Twice and just make it a fucking enemy versus enemy versus enemy versus yeah. enemy. If you just are nothing in, else.
If you're into that style of game, though, like, that is going to be for you. Like, I have watched a lot of clips of people playing it, and they do go insane for it. It is highly rated, but it's just not my style. No, same as you guys, it's just not for me.
Chris is going to be crying. He's going to be like, yeah, you guys 100%. Suck. You're like, I can't believe you won't spend any time playing those games. But reading that list, and seeing as we were just talking about Super Smash Brothers, 2019 Super Smash Brothers Ultimate, Craig, was it a worthy winner?
Well, it came out in 2018, but it was December, right?
Yeah. So it was in, because I think the Game Awards takes games from December to November,
yeah,
and then the following thing. Yeah,
I mean, it's because, like with the Oscars, I mean, they tend to come out just before the Oscars, that way they're fresh on people's minds and yeah. therefore they win. So being at the very start of the preview, like the very end of the previous year, so not even in the correct year, like, it's long since faded from people's memories, I'd imagine. But it is by far the best of all of those games.
But you know? Was it in 2019 with the... Because I mean, now it's essentially the same game, but without all of the
Darren,
great DLC moments.
You could say any
moments.
Game ever, and I would still say you're wrong. So Smash Bros. Ultimate is the game I've played more than any other game ever already. Yeah. I would play it today, I'd play it tomorrow, I'd play it the next day. Like, I've been playing it constantly for years. Not even online, just couch co-op with my mates, like, you know, not on... What kind of online, non-online game do people still play to this day?
Yeah,
like,
no, that's right.
That's extremely rare, like. But Smash Ultimate is the absolute culmination of Sakurai's life work, you yeah. know? And nobody could come close to it. Like, the only thing that's close to Smash Brothers is PlayStation All-Stars, and that is a piece of shit by comparison.
Yeah,
like,
that's pretty bad.
Like, you just toss that out of the window, it's so bad. Yeah. Like, Ultimate is above every other fighting. Like, I once saw Max Million do it and his two mates do this, like, 2-hour long video about how, what is the greatest fighting game of all time? And they got down to the final 10. They're like, all right, we've brought Smash Brothers very far away, but we ended at 10. And then they had all their Mortal Kombat and their Tekken. And that's, and I'm just like, that is so outrageous to say, what's the best fighting game of all time when, like, you haven't even compared them correctly. It's like saying, what's the best fruit? These 20 apples or this one juicy orange, you know? Like, it's a completely different... These are all the same, and this one's wildly different and exciting, you know?
Yeah.
It's the best by far. It's so different to any fighting game ever made, to the point where now everyone's doing the Nickelodeon All-Stars and all that crap
so
to try and copy it. Yeah. But they can't, because it's an absolute mountain to climb.
Yeah.
And they can't get anywhere near the first peak, you know?
So that was your game of the year then?
My game of the year. And the greatest fighting game of all time, because yeah. it is a juicy orange compared to all these
boring apples.
Boring, infested rotted apples cool. that yeah, are getting yeah. worse every year.
And it's funny, because I think... It's like, I've always enjoyed fighting games in the form of Tekken throughout mm-hmm. my life, but they are two vastly different games. I think there is a definite level of skill involved in Smash Brothers, but then again, there's a totally different level of skill involved for the likes of the Tekkens and stuff like that. That, like, combo input and all yeah. that kind
massively.
Of stuff.
But you can still be an amazingly good player like Donkey and just pick a fucking bear and do one stupid lie down yeah. attack over yeah. and over again and win all the time. To the point where anytime video game Donkey does a video on a fighting game, he'll always do the exact same move over and over to prove how fucking stupid it is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that.
KP, on that list, was there anything... Control, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Super Smash Brothers, The Outer Worlds. Is there anything on that list that...
I didn't think it should win, but Resident Evil 2 is an absolute banger.
That remake was so good.
Yeah,
but it's still just an absolute classic remake with no additional content, right?
I don't think it was an exact remake, though. I'd say, well, sorry, no, like, it wasn't a remaster in a stretch, but, like, as a remake, like, it did bring new elements to the game for sure.
So from, I think it wasn't a remake, like, I mean, they call it Resident Evil 2 remake because they essentially, it wasn't we've reskinned it, they made it from the ground up again.
Yeah.
Like a Final Fantasy remake style, but they didn't...
Don't compare it to that.
Well, no.
Because they definitely did not put that work in.
No, but they didn't...
Because it's like an... 10-hour game.
And they didn't diverge from the original story. They kept it exactly as...
And that's where they... Because I played the original Resident Evil 2, and I enjoyed it. But when you switched from Leon to the girl, I can't remember her name.
Claire.
But, like, despite the fact that both characters went in completely different directions, for some reason, her story is exactly the same as his. You know? She has a couple of moments where she goes off on her own, but otherwise she does the same things he does, which makes no sense because he's supposed to still exist in this game.
I think in the remake, though, that's not the case.
No, like, the remake, it's still the case. That's why
I thought they were like kind of completing, like, missions with on the same path, but like different aspects.
But
of
if they
the
went
mission,
off in different directions, sense. They shouldn't be on the same path at all. Both their stories should be wildly different, but they're not. They recycled levels.
I thought it was more to do like as in like. Maybe Leon would open a door that she would then end up having to use, and vice versa. She would unlock something that he would end up having to use. Like they kind of assisted each other along
They complemented each other for sure. But I think what Craig is saying is that you essentially, all of the levels, the levels throughout the game were the same. Like they both traverse the same areas.
Where the game takes place, you've played way more than
50% of the game, you know?
Yes, exactly. Because you're coming back to...
That's massively disappointing. But especially because that's only like 7 or 8 hours or something.
But Resident Evil 2 was my... I think that and... is 4 the one in the Spanish... Or 5 is the one in the Spanish town.
Five, I think that's Spanish 5, town. Yeah.
I love... Like 2 and 5 are my two favorites. And it was great to get like a... Because the problem with 2 is it's got that really old school... Camera angles, whatever. Resident Evil 2 Remake was just a joy to play. And like I said, I think perfectly done for... I don't think it was trying to be anything else other than what it was.
Yeah. But it's just a 7, 8 out of 10 game, like, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. I don't think it was worthy of...
like, it's not ambitious in the slightest. It's polish. Good polish, polish, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the one that surprises me that didn't... win, and I still don't know where I stand on this game or this series or this creator, but I'm surprised that Death Stranding didn't take that, because
it win the award.
Part of me did. I even remember watching
that
year.
It's a bad game.
But see, this is the thing, is that I feel it's a bad game, but you know that kind of that fine art thing that other people can look at that and be like, wow, what a revolutionary thing to do to video gaming. I don't think that, but the fine art people think that, and I was kind of worried.
I couldn't get into it. I played
50 hours of it, and I was like,
I made it 5. I was like, this is, I thought it was torture.
It does get better, but you can get what they're going, because it has moments, like real moments when you're just tired, and then the nice song comes on and you're kind of enjoying the walk, but
it's a walking simulator.
A walking simulator with boxes, and like just walking is difficult because you have to constantly hold the L and R button, so walking isn't even fun. You know,
do you think it's like the, I suppose like the Kojima lore maybe makes people think it's better than what it is,
possibly? No, I think, and like I said, like his whole like Kojima Productions, and the fact that he has, I mean, I don't know if it's really stuck, but the fact that he came up with, and he said, I've made my own whatever the genre was called, that was like
absolute nonsense.
The real abstract of the video gaming thing, and I was worried in 2019 that would win, so I think I'm kind of relieved it didn't. But then again, what did win, I'm like, no, I'm not so mad about that. I gave three of the games that came out that year that I would have put in place of I think Control, which Luke and Chris would probably be disappointed because we're all meant to be playing through that game at the minute. I think Luke's through it, Chris is almost through it. I can't get into it.
I stopped playing it as well.
It looks great though, and like at least it's trying to tell a very unique story.
Yes.
Like I think Control is definitely, especially because of how we're jumping into that, Control is a game that if it came out now, I think people would still really enjoy that.
It,
like, you know, that type of genre has only kind of intensified in the last few years.
The thriller mystery is very, like, it's kind of got Alan Wake vibes. Wait, I mean, it's the same creator and stuff, right? So, I mean, I would take out maybe the likes of Resident Evil 2, The Outer Worlds, because, I mean, I didn't play that, but it never did anything for me in terms of trailers. Mm-hmm. Three games that I found, one I've put in here that Luke will really appreciate, but I really thought it was a wonderful game to play. Do I think it's deserving of winning? No. But do I think it should have got a nomination? Yes. It was Outer Wilds.
Oh, that was that year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that not in there? Oh, the Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds.
Why did they call them that?
I know, right?
I'll never know which is which. Yeah. You just said it and I forgot.
Another one I've loved, never finished, but loved and would love to get back into, Disco Elysium.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Kind of like role play, heavy on chat, lovely atmosphere, great artwork, a really, like, I would say, engaging storyline. Nice. Big fan of that. And then Fire Emblem Three Houses was out that year.
Was it nominated?
No.
Okay. Well, it should have been if Animal Crossing was nominated, then Fire Emblem should have been nominated.
I think Animal Crossing was nominated, and we'll get to that year, and we'll talk.
Oh, sorry, that's next year. The same year.
No,
sorry,
it's not. That's next
year. I'm going to fucking destroy that one. I
can't wait for 2020. This is going to be so good. But yeah, I think, I guess Sekiro Shadows Die Twice is probably a worthy winner in its own way, but I would have picked Super Smash Bros. The only thing I would say is I think if you were to get everybody to look back on that year now, with how good in terms of all the characters that were announced for Smash Bros. etc., I think it would probably be cut and dry that it'd be Super Smash Bros. That would win it.
Do you think there's also an aspect of maybe From Software were kind of due one, if you get what I mean?
That's not to do with anything.
I know, but you sometimes see it in award shows.
I don't think that way, and I will never
like there's eventually
put that into
like,
my equation.
Oh, they've they've been nominated so many times. And
they got Bloodborne, they got Dark Souls, who'd give them the win? I mean, I hope that doesn't creep into it, that kind of, because that's like what the unconscious bias of like, oh, but they didn't win in ages.
But we are human beings, and that
people
definitely
do
happens.
Yeah.
So I think, would you, I mean, you changed Smash Bros, of course. Looking at that list, if you went back to those games now, what would you, KP?
Like, based on longevity and where it still is, probably Smash Bros. I could see.
Literally, you could say any four games with it, and I'll be like, I'm just going to cut you off, Darren. The answer is
Super
Smash Bros.
It's always Smash Bros. Well, there you have it. 2019 Super Smash Bros. Should have been the win. We're not fans.
Anyone who doesn't think so is an idiot.
You heard it here first, folks. 2020. We're now getting
fucking Animal Crossing, man. It's a terrible game. I don't like it. It's awful. And how dare it get nominated? Like, it's just the fucking green blocks, and then you put the sticker. Like, basically, you have green tiles or blue tiles. Green tiles are land, and blue tiles are water. And then you can put stickers on the green tiles, and that's the entire game. That's all you do in that whole thing.
Craig's going to upset a lot of Animal Crossing fans.
But even the stuff you get, you can't interact with it. Like, if you get like a table tennis table, it's not like you can play table tennis. You can just have your character sit beside it and do nothing. Like, it's just pointless.
Before we get right into it, do you want to hit
there's other stuff out there.
There's other stuff there. So 2020, interesting year. Very interesting year. We've got Doom Eternal, Animal Crossing New Horizons, Ghost of Tsushima, Hades, The Last of Us Part 2, and Final Fantasy VII Remake were all 2020. I mean, I remember...
Great list.
Well, I mean, so this is where we differ. I think Animal Crossing New Horizons, I would agree with you in some aspects, Craig, is that I don't think a game in terms of game mechanics, gameplay, it being revolutionary, I don't think it was. But I think it's there because of how it kind of really captured a moment in time.
COVID's just had lots of free time
lots
on their
of
hands,
free time.
Too much free time. And they're like, I'll put 10 hours into this, nothing else going on. I'm like,
but
where am I going to put these fossil next? Like, it's not fun.
There were so many content stuff that came out of Animal Crossing. One of my favorite ones was there was a guy... Gary Whitta, who does like lots of screenplays and stuff like that, and he wrote, I think, lots of the screenplay stuff for Rogue One, like a really good Star Wars film and stuff, but he does lots of online content stuff with video games, and he set up in the basement of the Animal Crossing house, Animal Talking or whatever, he just made his own chat show within the Animal Crossing realm. So he, in the basement of your house, Animal Crossing, he set up a studio, like with camera, couches, and like a host desk, like pretty much like, like the Jimmy Fallon show, whatever. Exactly like that. Mm-hmm. And it caught on in a real way that loads of celebrities who were into playing Animal Crossing came on his show as their characters through like a Discord chat or whatever. Elijah Wood was on his chat show. Elijah Wood, and there was like one or two kind of hip-hop artists or something like that. I can't remember the full list. But I was watching this being like, this is a wild time to be. Yeah. This timeline's weird. But it was, I think it's there purely because of the effect that it had on...
A cultural moment.
It was a real cultural moment to video game that you don't see very, very often. But I agree in terms of... I went to revisit it a couple of times after kind of 2020, and it never hooked me the same way. I was like, there isn't a whole lot to it. But Animal Crossing, the same way, you get like, they've been around for ages. People love those games. People love that. It's pretty much a thing of collecting lots of things and daily tasks. And it's got that kind of the loop.
It's a predator on, inner desires of wanting stuff. Like, it knows it's not fun, and it just like goes in on like, oh, you can only get this today. You're going to have to come back tomorrow. Like, it's just all about that. Like, restricting use to make you come back.
So I can see why it's in there, but not. I think we're all agreed, and especially Craig doesn't think it should have been the winner. The winner that year was, in fact, The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, fair enough.
Very worthy. Even though it's far inferior to The Last of Us Part 1, it's still a great game.
Yeah, it's a great game.
It's an unbelievable game. The one thing I will say about it is that, and I haven't replayed, I played it through and finished it just the once. I think it's a game that I definitely need to go through and play it again.
I enjoyed it more the second time once my rage had subsided and I was able to just kind of enjoy
the game
for what it was, because the gameplay elements are just fantastic.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
And if you like do go guns blazing, like it's more real, like it's more gritty and raw than like an action film, like an 18s. Like it's more gritty than Deadpool. Like some of the stuff you can do, like just beating the shit out of someone, that's stomping on their face.
Yeah,
like
it's brutal.
It feels really intense. Like even while you're playing it, like
it was hard for me, which is why I want to go and revisit it, because again, we're talking 2020, probably the worst of COVID here in Ireland, like the heaviest of the lockdowns. You can't travel far. You can't see anybody. You can't talk to like people in person. All that kind of stuff. And I remember playing The Last of Us Part 2, and it's so grim. Yeah. It's so fucking grim that I got to the end of the game where there's no real, I think, for me, in terms of what I wanted from the story. I think it's a brilliant story. I have no qualms to get it. But it wasn't what necessarily I wanted for the characters, personally. But I remember I finished the game and the credits were rolling and I was sitting there and being like, I am so depressed. I am so depressed. I can't go outside. I can't do anything. I put 20 hours into this, like, you know, pandemic game that was no fun. Like, in terms of the storyline, was no fun. Yeah. Gameplay was amazing.
It's actually it's so long. Quite long.
Yeah. But I think in terms of, like, it being nominated and a winner, yes. The thing that really I struggled with was that Final Fantasy VII Remake was that year. And I think as a game, in terms of enjoyment and what it did for me through nostalgia, and I was like, holy shit, they actually did it. That to me would have been my winner over Last of Us Part 2.
For sure.
Yeah, fair enough. And it's funny to think that, like, that's also the same year that Ghost of Tsushima's in there, right?
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima.
And hasn't even been mentioned yet. Yeah. Like, that is unbelievable.
And Hades.
Yeah. And Hades. A game, like, I tried roguelikes for the first time just for Hades, and I was like, yep. This is pretty good.
And I think for a lot of people, like, I mean, there's such a great collection of games in there. Like, we've got, like,
they're wildly different too.
Yeah, like the open world of, like, Ghost of Tsushima, the Animal Crossing.
Like, put three houses in there. Just pretend.
Doom Eternal, that kind of, like, real, just like violent shooter kind of thing. Ghost of Tsushima, like, open world, whatever. Hades, rogue, like, Last of Us Part 2, big heavy narrative, and then Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is like a nostalgia, like, hardcore injection into the body type
and we
thing.
We really hit it big just as COVID hit, like, you know.
Like, yeah, we were too blessed
in 2020. It was perfect.
And, like, lots of, that's the funny thing about this year in 2020, because, like, video games were shot through the roof, like, in terms of, like, companies were making so much money and hiring so many people because we got to make more games. And 2020 kind of, like, I suppose the bubble that kind of essentially grew from that eventually popped when people could go back outside again, fucked up so many video game companies in terms of having to let people go. And, like, now we had in 2023, 2024, all the layoffs and everything like that. Interesting year for video games. I put in some here, two games that I thought, I don't think are worthy to get on that list, but, like, that were also involved in 2020 in a big way for me. Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout.
Okay.
Was a really kind of, like, interesting, fun one to play. Yeah. Call of Duty Warzone was released that year as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Great game, especially if you just played just Warzone. Like, or was it? Is that what it was?
Call of Duty Warzone was that. Because they had, like, that was a free part of.
Yeah, that was a free part. Yeah. Just that by itself was incredible.
We played tons of that. Do you remember? Yeah. We played, you, me, like, Column, Andrew, we played so much Warzone. Like, we got, like, we had a proper crew for 2020 because we'd fuck all to do. Yeah.
It was
like
just a city and you just kept dropping in and just going to places. Yeah. Like, this is brilliant.
It's,
like,
a cracker,
you
know? Yeah.
Craig, are you happy with The Last of Us Part 2 or would you have chosen 7 Remake?
Oh, no. Last of Us Part 2 is an amazing game, but nothing tops a Final Fantasy for me. Like, just what it did to me. I do think, though, as a neutral, I would pick The Last of Us because there's just more going on, especially with how Final Fantasy VII ends. But, like, for the nostalgia and how they improved upon the original game and the music and everything they added, like, it was money well spent. And it was just, it just hit me in the heart so many times, like, you know. So
KP, I haven't gotten your thoughts.
I think, yeah, to be fair, I don't see how you could not pick The Last of Us Part 2 to win. As, like, I understand if you lean towards Final Fantasy you'd go that way. I actually, because the narrative of The Last of Us Part 2 is so strong, I enjoyed the gameplay of Ghost of Tsushima more, and I actually enjoyed the world more, but the story of The Last of Us is probably what takes it for me.
Ghost of Tsushima was such a fantastic game, and another game that I haven't finished. I think I've said it before plenty of times on the podcast, but when I suffered from the worst of my open world fatigue, that's when I got a chance to play Ghost of Tsushima, and I haven't really gotten into it since.
And there is a lot of old school, like, just, like, it doesn't, the side missions in that game are bad, like, and sometimes, like, so you'll do a mission with a character and then it'll be like one of 12, like, you'll have 12 side missions with that one character and they're all the same, you know. It's just like one character's like, okay, we're gonna go and we're gonna use our bow each time, or we're gonna use our daggers each time. It's like, yeah, you've already told me how to use these things, like, I don't need a dozen missions just to do that. And then you go off and there'll be a hot coup and there'll be a water but there'll be a dozen of each, so there's no real good side content. It's very much they've just picked a few things and there's loads of them everywhere.
Am I correct in saying you could choose to play that game in black and white?
And in Japanese as well. That gets quite tough.
I think that's what killed the game for me, because I started, I was like, I'm going to make this like the old Japanese films. Yeah. Black and white, Japanese. And I did the opening thing where they're fighting the army on the beach. Really great opening piece or whatever. Yeah. And black and white, I loved it. And I think 2-3 hours later, I was like, oof.
I don't know, missing a lot of the chit chat.
Because if someone is talking to you from a distance, it's just not going to translate that. So you don't know what they said.
And if there was like, to be fair, like, because there's a, I don't know if it's exactly like a skill tree, but there's like four different stances you can use.
Off of the fighting, yeah.
So like you end up kind of having to do a lot of the side quest up to build up your kind of rank to get these and everything. So like that was kind of painful, but the just rewards of it, of getting all four stances, it is actually pretty banging.
Because I have seen lots of people like, you know, I couldn't play it, but I watched lots of things then afterwards to try and see, can I get back into it? But seeing people in the sword fights, that 1v1 samurai, testing their stances, I was like, this game, I mean, I really need to try
it. Combat is good, like, especially the way you can just, with the touch of the D button, you can switch stance and then all your moves are different. And you're like, yeah, this is pretty cool.
This is great. Are you looking forward to Ghosts of Yotai?
Yeah. Like, if it recaptures any of the glory of Ghost of Tsushima, I don't see why I'm not going to enjoy it.
I hope it's not a prequel. Is it the prequel?
I have no idea.
My danger is that, you know, the way, like...
Games love a good prequel these days.
I hate a prequel, though, you know? And, like, do you remember what was the movie with Tom Hardy? The fucking Mad Max, you know? Yeah. Furiosa, I enjoyed it, but they shouldn't have done a prequel, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not concerned it was a strong female lead. You know, I absolutely love her the bits, but I'm like, do you lose something if you go from, like, badass ninja warrior to... you know, a womanly character who isn't as physically strong and imposing? Do you kind of lose something there if you're just going, oh, we're just going to put in a woman there and people, or a woman there and people won't mind? I think they will. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but it is drastically different.
But people have, like, not only people have already minded, like, all this stuff when they just played the trailer of that game, there was loads of people giving out. I kind of think, my thing about it would be is in that, like, I think the Mad Max comparison is a little bit different because, like, that's such a, maybe the world of Ghost of Tsushima is a brutal world in its own way, but like, I think it's less believable that Furiosa could have survived the way she did than Mad Max. But I think when you're talking about swords and samurai and the art of the sword player or whatever else, I think it could be a bit different. But you're right, I kind of hope it's a sequel.
Yeah, sequel.
Because if it's a prequel, then she can only wind up exactly where she did at the start of the first movie or the first game, and she wasn't a legend then, you know?
Yeah,
so it's like, then you limit what you can do in the game because it has to narratively make sense. And I hate prequels for that because they're always so bound by what the original did.
And you kind of, certain characters in things, and as much as I enjoyed, like, Red Dead Redemption 2 is an interesting one, a prequel again, but I was looking at being like, I know all these characters die.
It sucks you know? Knowing that, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like, you'll
never
get over that. It's always going to be a nail in its... coffin.
I mean, it's,
you know,
it's great.
Despite being great,
it's great to see what they did beforehand, but knowing the outcome for certain aspects of the storyline is always going to be tough. But I'm looking forward to go see Yota, but I will. When that's about to come out, that will. So if you can hear that background, Ambrose. Hey. Okay, well, he's just banging a box in the background. Don't mind him. I'm looking forward to it. I think that'll spur me to play Ghost of Tsushima. But I think Last of Us that year. Worthy winner.
Yeah, worthy winner.
Yeah.
Crazy to say that with Final Fantasy out there.
I know, but I mean, and like,
I wouldn't discredit it.
It's only. I think Final Fantasy for us is because it's the nostalgia side of things. Yeah.
But you hear that battle music, and you know, tell me you don't feel something in deep down in your soul, like, you know.
Before we move on, I just want to let you know about our Patreon. If you haven't heard already, for the cost of a coffee a month, you can gain access to all our post shows, including extra gaming news, the Gift of Gaming Battle Royale, where we pit video game characters against one another in the ultimate showdown, and early access to any of our Gift of Gaming Games Club episodes, where we review our times with new and old games. If you hop on now, there's over 80 episodes to listen to, so it's an absolute bargain. Your support helps us grow the podcast so we can try to bring you bigger and better content. Why not take a look? Or tell your mates. Want to get in touch? Our hope here at the Gifted Gaming Podcast is to create a community of like-minded gamers to discuss all things video games. Although we are terrible on a social media front, 2025 is the year of change. We hope to expand out and update you on all the social media classics. In the meantime, want to send us your thoughts on our episodes as they come out, or tell us how we got it wrong. We love reading emails and are available at thegiftofgamingpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you all. And as always, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Okay, so we have 2021, which is... not a good year, I think, for video games.
Skip this one.
It'll be quick, I think.
If we're running out of time, just skip 21.
I think this is just up. So, nominations for 2021 were It Takes Two, Deathloop, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village.
None of them would even be nominated on the previous year.
No chance.
None of them.
No.
But I will say, It Takes Two, having played through it with Kev, who's over in New Zealand now, we played through It Takes Two. Fantastic. Unbelievable.
Yeah. No, it's a really fun game.
It's a nice, good indie
cool
game.
Have you did you say that they won? Have I spoiled it?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No. That's the one. No, you know, there's no spoilers because I like. There's no. I don't think there was really any competition based off those games. No. Psychonauts 2 was a long time in the making, supposedly for the Psychonauts fans, but I don't think it was well. I think it was a fairly average game. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Fun to see the name again, I suppose.
And like, really took in the power of the PlayStation 5 with that, like, the Portal Rift thing that was very impressive. But also in terms of gameplay, I was like, the thing that hurts me most about Sony was that Ratchet and Clank became the duo over Jack and Daxter. I still prefer Jack and Daxter as a duo over Ratchet and Clank, so I'm always going to be against it. What I will say, Craig, on this one, missed out this year, I believe, that should have been nominated, based on those ones, Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. It's a Switch game, but it was very good. Just graphically, you know, not really. Like, it's hard going from a really strong, visually amazing-looking game to an inferior-looking
game.
Even though the gameplay, I thought, was better, but just not as competitive. Like, say, it was kind of like an easier version, you know? Like,
I always think of Rise.
You could play, like, kill the monster twice to kind of get everything, as opposed to having to kill it 10 times to get everything.
I always consider it the arcade version of Monster Hunter.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice, fun version to play if you have 50 hours free time. You know, but if you had 300 hours free time, you'd be sick of it very quick.
Yeah. Did we play any other games on that list? Do we have any thoughts on any other games?
Only played it Takes Two.
Deathloop became free to play almost immediately because apparently that did not age well at all. They were like, the reviews are great, but then when people start playing it, it's like, it's getting very samey quickly.
I think it was really successful in terms of how it sold itself through the ads and the trailers.
Yeah.
I think it was like, because it had like really cool music visually, like it had a really cool art style, but then gameplay was
very
just
good idea, but in practicality people were like, I have to do this level again? Oh shit.
Did you get Metroid Dread, Craig?
No, I played a little bit with Niall, but it didn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
Metroidvania games generally don't, and Metroid games are not very uniquely different.
Mm-hmm.
This one had that element of, let's run from the thing for like 5 minutes, you know?
And that was it.
And then, you know.
2021, we need say no more. A pretty grim year for video games. But then we go into the year 2022, which I think is, I think that's a good list.
It's a very good year.
I think it's a good list. So the nominations for 2022 were A Plague Tale: Requiem, God of War Ragnarok, Elden Ring, Stray, Horizon Forbidden West, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Who wants to kick off with first thoughts? Before I announce who won that, I think we've talked about it enough about a particular game there, but KP, any thoughts initially on those games?
My game of the year that year would have been God of War, Ragnarok. Yeah, absolutely loved it. That world, that universe, that the characters, it's 10 out of 10 for me. I jump back into it regularly enough. I haven't played Valhalla yet, but looking forward to doing that as well. It's just a great story. It's a brilliant story, and the kind of fighting mechanics as well, I adore. Like, it's kind of, I would pick it over an Elden Ring for that exact reason. I find the ability to play the game like doable. I struggle with an Elden Ring type game. After a while I just won't find it too accessible. The God of War's, no issues there. It's unreal.
To me, who was, because I can't remember his name, it's on the tip of my tongue. You cut off his head and he's
Mimir. Yeah.
Mimir, like, what a great storytelling tool to be like, we're going to attach this head onto your belt and he's going to come with you for the entire game and just tell you stories of the ancient mythology, and it's just
so interesting.
So interesting. And like, he's like, it's great because Atreus is now much older and you kind of play as him and he fights a little bit as well, and Mimir is kind of like this, like, yo, listen, oh my god, what can I even think of the God of War's name?
Kratos.
Jesus Christ. He's like, Kratos, you kind of need to lay off the kid a little bit more, like, you know, trying to give him this, like, they're like bros and he's giving him fatherly advice. It's and there's some of the stuff is so humorous as well, but unbelievable game. 10 out of 10 for me that year as well.
Well, I mean, Christopher Judge plays him, so 9 out of 10. You know. Absolute loser.
He's tilking Stargate, though. That
I loved him for that until he spoke 5 minutes later at the Game Awards.
So this 2022 was our 2022 our first podcast? No, 2023 was our first podcast Game Awards, right? I can't remember.
No, I think it was 2022 because like you guys really wanted to stay up and watch it. Yeah. And I watched it for a few minutes with you guys. I was like, oh, this God of War guy is going to talk. What, Christopher Judge? I love him. I love Stargate. And then he stood up there for 20 minutes and ranted about nothing.
It was the
and
most cringy like, thing.
It's so funny though. It's like when so you look funny. Back at it, it is hilarious.
Okay,
it
that's
is,
the like, time. I did not like it at all.
And it's, what's funny is you notice another thing is because like this is when the Game Awards was kind of really like, you know, bigger boots now, you know, because Al Pacino comes on to give the voice acting award to Christopher Judge, and he's got a speech for so long that Al Pacino, who's old man, he's an old dude, he's standing there, it's like a slight breeze will blow over. And he's got to stand there for like 15 minutes listening to Christopher Judge talk. And the best thing about that is that they play the, you know, you got to get off stage music right now, and all it does is lend another emotion to Christopher just giving his speech. He doesn't take it as I need to leave the stage. He's like, I'm saying so much good shit here, they've decided to give me some music in the background.
What an absolute narcissistic prick. Like,
unbelievable, you know,
to think he's on the same level as Pacino as well. If that was the case, you'd be in a movie, not
in his defense, I don't think he ever thought he was on the same level as Pacino, because I think he was quite honored to be given the award by Al Pacino.
Well, let's see whose speech is longer, shall we? When Al Pacino won an award, you think he stood up there for 20 minutes?
So
that means he thinks he's better than Pacino.
He probably hasn't done much since Stargate. Like, I haven't really seen him. So he was like, here's my chance, you know?
Yeah, I think he's done a fair amount, because he's got a really unique voice, I think, as well. I think he's done a fair amount of voice acting. But yeah, I love that, because that set the tone for like everybody else thereafter got like 10 seconds to give their speech before they were played off.
You ruined it for everyone.
That year it was really, really bad.
They made light of it the following year though, right?
The following year they overcompensated, but they said, right, in order to like make sure we don't get big long speeches, we're going to cut the time. So in 2023, everybody was cut off stage again because they didn't want anybody to go over time, because we've only got this amount of time in the theater or whatever.
They just thought everyone would be nice and humane about it, and one guy just fucking
ruined it for 2 years. It was so funny. Like, so in like, I think in the one that we just watched, 2024, I think they make a joke about, I think there was a sign that was lit up in 2023 anytime people were making speeches, and it said wrap it up please or something like that. And I think the two Muppets that were in the 2024 one, like the balcony, I think they made a joke about the wrap it up thing, because it was like, you guys definitely overcompensated in 2023 to make it. But I mean, for me, it's like, I was watching, it was cringy at the time, but I look back at it, I'm like, it's just that good lore, like the good Game Awards lore. Like, we're looking back on, I know we're looking back on the games, but we're looking back on the shows. I mean, I fucking love that
speech. He
should
have been banned forever. Fuck it. No. What an asshole.
He announced, if memory serves, he announced the voice actor award.
He did.
The following year.
And he made a joke about talking too long. But I think it's the self-awareness to me makes it, I can forgive him, because it's he's not so thing that he came on the following year not thinking that he did nothing wrong. He knows, he was like, I spoke for too long, and I get it. Because everyone's like, you know, in the moment you get a voice acting award.
No, Darren. He's an asshole.
Out. He had no idea.
He knew damn well what he was doing at the time. He saw Al Pacino there and went, I'm better than you, and you're going to stand there, old man, and take it.
All right, so we have some other games here. I've mentioned before, this is the same thing happened again. Horizon Forbidden West comes out the same year. There's a God of War, Ragnarok, and an Elden Ring.
So I had no chance. But
deserved a nomination.
Great game. Yeah. The story was bad, but like visually and like some of the stuff you could do was really, really good. Great side content too.
Yeah, really, really good. Xenoblade Chronicles 3...
I played the original Xenoblade Chronicles and I love it. It's one of my favorite games on the Wii. Then X came out. I was on the Wii U. I was super, super excited, and it's a piece of garbage. It's an absolutely terrible game with a terrible story and like really poorly written dialogue and characters.
Yeah.
Then 2 was equally as bad and annoying with really, really bad voice acting. Yeah. Good gameplay and stuff. But I just couldn't get through it.
That's
3 I gave no chance. I'm just like, no, that's 2 bad ones in a row. I'm done with the series.
I think what I appreciate about 3 though is I think it was quite well done for the Switch in terms of, people said graphically, considering what the Switch can do, it looked quite good. But yes, I have a problem with those games that have the, Baldur's Gate being the exception, I think. When you put on those British voice actors into kind of like an anime style game, it's kind of way too OTT to get any sort of enjoyment out of it.
It always comes across that way as well. Plus, some of the playable characters are called Nopon. They're literally like 30 centimeters tall, and they just kind of spit acid and have stupid animations. I'm like, I don't enjoy playing as creatures I can barely see, you know? I'm just like, why are they in my party? They don't add anything. They're just clearly very physically weak, and I can't get past that. I can't pretend that they can take on a dragon because they can't. It doesn't make any sense, you know?
KP, you're a cat fan. You like
I love Stray, man.
Did you play Stray?
I'm glad it got nominated. Yeah, I played it. Like, it's the sort of game that I wouldn't usually... I think there was a lot of hype around it initially when it came out. And I was like, I'll give this a look. And I didn't like do any research into it whatsoever. And it was a treat.
It's such a treat.
It's such a fun game. Like, probably like 4 hours long or something. Tops. I think I was through
it. It's just like, it's that classic indie kind of thing, indie style, where it's like, this is a fresh, like that. Yeah. Like, I mean, you look at that, like God of War Ragnarok, big, long game. Yeah. Elden Ring, big, long game. Horizon Forbidden West, fucking 60-hour long game.
How would you feel if Stray had won that?
I don't think it should.
A four-hour game. Like, can you imagine? I would go murder someone. Like, I'm just like, there's something seriously wrong with the world if that is possible. Best indie for sure, no problem.
Yeah.
But it should not be in there.
But I think...
At all.
No, 4 hours. That's not even the fucking opening chapter of some of the games.
So to me, a great game isn't just done by its length. You have games that are like 100 hours long that can be shite. Do you know what I mean? I don't think necessarily that a game has to be long to be good.
Yes, but if a game is 80 hours of pure bliss, then it is still 50 times more... than the other game, and that is just too much of a difference to be in the same category.
Did you look into, was there anyone who maybe could have had a shout that year to knock Stray out?
Missed out, and I wouldn't have knocked out Stray because I was a big fan. Yeah. I would have knocked out A Plague Tale, Requiem, or Xenoblade Chronicles 3 for Triangle Strategy, which was the Square Enix kind of I suppose like strategy turn-based
good
kind
concept,
of game.
But very short, you know, very few actual levels and stuff like that. You know?
But I think in terms of like artwork, like to me, it looked like something that they could definitely build. A fucking crazy name. I hate the name, but it's the only thing.
I'd love a sequel that was much bigger and more bold.
Because
you know?
The characters are great, and it really, it went back to the Final Fantasy Tactics days and like the Lion War or whatever it was that was in Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, it was a really interesting, gripping kind of story that was going on. And again, looked amazing, played great. But yeah, Craig, you're right. It was just a bit too...
Like they recycled a lot of the same levels and things, and you're just like, man, really? Like a Fire Emblem game even would have more, and that has fuck all in terms of content. You know?
So, I mean, we didn't announce the winner, but of course it was Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Again, we don't have Chris here to talk about it, but like now I'm thinking, all right, Souls, Bloodborne games, you've had your two. Yeah. Take a step back, you know. Listen, I'm delighted for it. Like, there was loads of people who were waiting for that. Part of me thinks the psyche for that year was that because there was so much hype around the game, that regardless of whether it was, and I know some people say it was brilliant, even if it wasn't as brilliant, I still think it probably was in with a really good shade of winning it because there was like when it was finally announced, it was like, oh, like people were like, we've been waiting for you know, 8-9 years for this. God of War Ragnarok, I'm like, to me, it's a hands down for that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Ragnarok,
big time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's, I'm being biased because I don't have any like or love for the Souls style games. Yeah. But I look at God of War Ragnarok and I kind of say to myself, how did it not win? Like you said, 10 out of 10. For me, it's one of the 10 out of 10 games that I would have on my list of like perfect games.
Do you know the way, like the reason like Zelda won Breath of the Wild is because a lot of random things could happen. You know, in God of War, like everything is very much cinematic and a spectacle.
Yes.
But Elden Ring, like Legend of Zelda, is one of those things where your adventure is drastically different to everyone else's adventure. Like, so it's far more creative if you're a creative type of player. And you can go off and find... And apparently there's loads and loads of optional and crazy bosses that like you'll only see if you go down this really dark cave and get stuck into something.
And there's loads of lore. There was the guy who dressed his character in a nappy and put a pot on his head.
I can't remember
what he called himself, but he would help... It was like something South Park or something like that, the World of Warcraft episode. He would help other players beat... Chris, if he listens, this is gonna like he's gonna be so annoyed he's not on this because we're so non-versed.
Well, I'm trying to give Elden Ring some love. It's not my type of game, but it definitely, and from what people say, it is a very, very good game and it has so much in there. You know, most games, you know, the Harry Potters and all that shit, they'll have 5-6 enemies and then they just recycle them over and over again. But Elden Ring has lots and lots and lots of
different. Like, I've never played it, but I've watched clips of people playing it, and it's a very enjoyable like kind of game to sit back and watch and like listen to people lose their minds so they can't beat specific
bosses. And I think I'm glad you're rooting for it. I think my only argument would be is that yes, it's more creative and everyone's adventure is different, and yes, God of War Ragnarok is kind of essentially on rails, like this open areas, but it's an on rails game. You're following this narrative. It's just a perfect narrative, though. Narrative, and all the gameplay is just like all the gameplay is balanced to perfection. Yeah. Fighting some of the tougher bosses in God of War, like when you the impact of getting hit in the shield and you can counter. I just felt so good playing that game. Yeah. It harks back a little bit to like Final Fantasy VII and how good the remake did the combat. Yes. God of War is probably up there for me in terms of combat games that feel so good. The narrative's so good. The graphics are so good. But yeah, listen, Elden Ring, huge hype. There was no doubt it was going to win. Moving on, gentlemen, we go to 2023. Nominations 2023. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, and Super Smash Brothers Wonder.
Super Smash Brothers Wonder?
Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I've written it down on the page as Super Smash Brothers Wonder. Sorry, Super Mario Bros. Wonder. KP, Marvel Spider-Man 2.
That's what I'm playing now.
So you don't have thoughts just yet in terms of...
Oh, about like the game in general?
Is it deserving to be...
I think it's definitely deserving to be in there. No qualms with it not winning at all, but it's a brilliant... I know you're not the biggest fan, but
I didn't play that one, but yeah, I wasn't a fan of the first one.
Yeah, like to be honest, it builds on where like the first game left off, and it really builds on the Miles Morales one, because that's quite a short game. Mm. I feel like the Miles Morales one was actually only to introduce him as a character for
this
Spider-Man.
Second, yeah, 100%.
But, it's brilliant. It's really, really fun. The kind of traversing... Manhattan and New York in general, it's so enjoyable. Like fast travel's a possibility in this game. I never use it because there's so much to be said for swinging around. Mm-hmm. A perfectly built New York, by the way,
to scale. Like
Jesus Christ, it's to scale. I did a summer in New York and I worked in a pub, and I went to the pub in the game, like outside, and like I followed the street. I knew the route that I walked from the subway, and like while the pub itself isn't listed in the game, like
of course,
it's like
some, yeah, yeah.
But the road, the bridges that you're meant to cross, everything.
I love that.
Is literally perfect.
I would love that if I lived in New York, but it means nothing if I don't know what New York looked like in the first place. Yeah. Like, so I'll never ever appreciate the detail that I don't get. Like,
I move to you, Craig. Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom.
My game of the year for sure.
Yeah.
Just so. So much extra content on top of Breath of the Wild, the creativity. There's probably like dozens of amazing TikTok and Reddit pages all about just people creating some great shit just using the physics of the game. And just there's probably someone who's like built a fucking rocket ship to the moon somehow in that game. Like, you know,
one of my favorite. I think it was it came out, and I think they had I don't know if it was the announcement trailer, and I'm not sure if it was Nintendo's trailer. I think it was, but it's like showing the game. It's like, oh my god, this is amazing, and then it's like two contraptions fighting each other, but rockets flying off. They're very off, and I was like, what is this game? So it is Nintendo. I was like, what is this game? Like, you know, it was fascinating. Yeah, I think it was up against some serious chops with Baldur's Gate 3, though.
Never
in doubt. And we've all played a lot of Baldur's Gate 3 here. It is amazing,
but it's just, when a game is that, I mean, those type of games tend to have a lot of broken stuff in them, but, you know, there's a lot of big bugs in there, like, you know.
Baldur's Gate 3?
Baldur's Gate 3.
I think on release, certainly yes. I mean, I always love the horny bug, as they call it, because it's some people, when they play the game, immediately all the characters just wanted to bed you, and I was kind of being like, I didn't realize I created such a stud, but it was just called the horny bug, like, you know, which later got fixed. Just before we kind of maybe delve into Baldur's Gate 3 too much, Resident Evil 4, I played Super Mario Bros. Wonder and I finished it. I don't think it's deserving to be on that list. And I would switch it with the following. I think for me that year, as much as I love Baldur's Gate 3, there's two games I would have put on that list that aren't there. Final Fantasy 16 is one of them. Dave the Diver is the other. And for me, nice. I mean, I've said it plenty of times before. Dave the Diver was my game of the year last year because I only played it last year. Final Fantasy 16, I was really disappointed it didn't make the list. Yeah, really disappointed.
Yeah, it's worthy being in there, but definitely not to win.
You know? Not to beat Baldur's Gate 3, I don't think.
Not, or Zelda.
But we even did, we did a three-parter in terms of talking about Baldur's Gate 3 and all the content. I think it really, we've talked about it before, we won't maybe go into too much. If you want to see what our thoughts on Baldur's Gate 3, just listen to those episodes. But it really showed, put the middle finger to all of their, cheap-ass AAA companies to be like, this is what you should, because all of the, I remember there was those articles that came out of, companies being, employees in certain AAA companies coming and making quotes being like, consumers shouldn't expect this from AAA games going forward. I'm like, why not? You're saying we shouldn't expect that, but it really kind of twisted everything. And
they put the work in.
And what was great about Baldur's Gate 3 winning 2023 meant that they got to announce the winner in 2024, and your man from Larian Studios made a really, really good speech about the current you know, status of the video games industry and how, you know, there's no respect for workers, everything like that. And I was like, oh, you know, compared to where we were at the start of 2023, now in the 2024, I was like, maybe there's a bit of a shift in the industry that's kind of protecting itself in a better way. So that was all good. But yes, Baldur's Gate 3.
It was a worthy winner.
A worthy winner.
Yeah, very cool game.
Getting on to 2024, gentlemen. Our nominations are most recent year. We've talked about it a little bit, but Astro Bot, Balatro, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Tree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Metaphor ReFantazio. We know who won it, mm-hmm. Astro Bot. If Final Fantasy VII Rebirth couldn't have won it, I wanted Astro Bot to win.
Yeah,
so fair. As much as it wasn't disappointing for me, I was like, this is, you know, what a fun, great game to win it. Mm-hmm. But I will say, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is just a far superior game in all aspects to Astro Bot. Like, you know, I'm like, why didn't that win? I can't understand why Rebirth didn't win. Really,
for me, it has to be just down to people not liking the narrative and how it's different. You know,
yeah.
Which, I mean, it's fair, but there's just 100 hours of other great things in there, like, as well. You know,
yeah.
So you don't have to very like appreciate the ending to the game to have enjoyed the journey, and the journey is just full of absolute spectacular set pieces and moments and great side content and just games within, like Chocobo Racing is like Mario Kart, the card game is its own game. Like, there's so many of the mini games that could have been their own game and have almost as much content by themselves as a real game. Like, it's just oozing like class and
yeah.
polish and like visual flair and money. Like, just it has everything, and they did it so well, you know.
KP, I'm looking at that list and none of it rings true to what I remember maybe you talking about as playing as 2020 in 2024. Does any of the game in that list, were you privy to any of them?
No, to be honest with you, I wasn't really like too into any of the games on the list for 2024.
What was your game of the year 2024, if you remember? And like, doesn't have to have come out last year, but what did you play last year that was your, would have been your kind of...
I think now, like, what was new to me? I played a hell of a lot of Overcooked. Now, I don't think I should win Game of the Year by any stretch of the imagination,
especially in 2024.
But like, that was a game that I just gave a lot of time to. Like, there's games in my library at the moment. I actually have got Astro Bot, which I'm gassed to play.
Yeah,
looking forward to it. But like, the list in general, it just does not do it for me at all. 2024,
and that's fair, because it is like
a DLC in there as well as a funny shout.
Yeah, Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree and I think that is preparing us for the future of what can be nominated. Yeah. I think that was I think that was slipped in to be like, hey guys, prepare yourself because this is going to be more common. And I think maybe is gaming looking at, rather than making sequels, do they just continue DLC for certain games to make their production?
With DLC, but it should not be up for game of the year. DLC of the year, sure, but it's not a game if you need the original to play it, you know.
So looking back on that list, Craig, I mean, I think you're probably in the same mind as me. You go back to 2024 and vote on it. Do you still think Astro Bot's worthy, or you change it to Rebirth?
I mean, like, all the Super Mario games, I don't buy them, you know. Like, I did get Odyssey, and like, I enjoyed it for about 10 hours and then I was bored of it. And I get that it's a great game, it's just not for me. And like, similarly, Astro Bot can't possibly be for me because it's pretty much the exact same thing, just with a Sony character instead of a Nintendo character. And I have a lot of fondness for Mario, and that still isn't enough for me to really like those type of games. So Astro Bot is never going to do it for me, but I get it's probably really good, people really love it, and a lot of hard work went into it. But Metaphor was a game I did play, you know, and that is on the nomination list for that year.
Yep.
And it shouldn't be nominated. Like, it is not a contender.
And not only, I mean, because you said this to me before, not only was it nominated, but in the lead up to it being the nominations it won a lot of awards throughout the
which
award show.
Persona 5 didn't earn nearly as many things.
Yeah,
accolades. And it's so much better. You know, the soundtrack, there's 100 great songs in Persona 5, and there's about 3 in... Metaphor, and most of them are not good. Like, you go into a dungeon, you're like, oh, this is eerie and disgusting. I don't like this.
I put two games that I would have put in, I probably would have taken out Elden Ring and Metaphor for these two. One I didn't play, but I heard nothing but great things and great reviews, and unfortunately the studio was closed down immediately afterwards, but Prince of Persia The Lost Crown was apparently a real good breath of fresh air for Ubisoft. And my other one that I put in there, because, and this is more of a personal take, but Tekken 8 I would have put in as a nominated well ahead of Elden Ring DLC or Metaphor.
Another apple, huh? Fucking hell.
But this one's a real juicy apple, Craig. Like, you know. But yeah, so that's it, guys. I think post show today, we're going to go through. I've got a crossover. I've mashed two games together. I'm going to see what Craig and KP think of my my love. Two games mashed together. If you've enjoyed the show, tell your friends. And Craig, can't thank you so much for. I can't thank you enough. Oh my God, I'm really, really on low field.
It's okay, Darren. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here, Greg. And KP, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.